Hello everyone and welcome back to Daily Kaylee's 13 Days of Halloween. Today's episode is the fourth in this year's segment and it is about the Lady of the Dunes. If you have never heard of the Lady of the Dunes, she was actually identified last October, 1 year ago. And this case is from 1974. On July 26, 1974, a 12-year-old girl followed her dog to the decomposing body of a woman. This body was in the Race Point Dunes of Provincetown, Massachusetts. These remains were just a few feet away from the road, and they had a significant amount of animal and insect activity. It was determined this body had probably been there for 2 weeks and had not yet been discovered. Around the body were two sets of footprints that led to the body from the road and one set of tire tracks that were about 50 yards from the scene. The victim was found lying face down on half of a beach blanket. There seemed to be no sign of a struggle. It appeared that she had either known her killer and was comfortable with him, or she had been asleep when she died. Under her head was a blue bandana and a pair of Wrangler jeans. She had long red hair that was pulled back into a ponytail, and her toenails were painted pink. These are the only details that we had for many years. The police determined that she was approximately 5 feet, 6 inches tall. She weighed around 145 pounds and seemed to be athletic. She had expensive dental work and several of her teeth had been removed. Along with some of her teeth, both hands and one forearm were missing. It is likely that her missing teeth, her hands, and her forearm, they were removed because her killer wanted to hide either her identity or their own identity. She may have had tattoos on her forearm. Either way, there were no fingerprints and missing teeth. She was nearly decapitated, possibly from being strangled, and one side of her head had been crushed, and this was her cause of death, this head injury. She also had signs of sexual assault that were likely done post-mortem. The police said she could have been anywhere between the ages of 20 or 49. So I'm assuming she was aging very well from that piece of information. After only a few months, the woman was buried in October of 1974 because this case had already gone cold. There were no leads, no missing women matched this description, and no new missing women were reported that matched the description. There was nothing. In 2014, one of the investigators raised funds for a new casket because at the time she was buried in a thin metal casket. It was believed she would be identified and have a proper burial with her family, so they did not invest in good materials at this time. But after 40 years, it had rusted and it was deteriorating. The investigation of this case was insane. I mean, the police poured over thousands upon thousands of missing person cases. They went through different vehicles that were proved to go through this area. There was nothing. There was no lead to be found. At the scene of the crime, the sand from the dunes and the beach blanket were not disturbed, which means this body, she either died here or her body was moved to this specific spot where her body was found. She had not been touched or moved since then. No other evidence was found. Other than the clothes that she had on her and underneath her person, she had absolutely nothing else with her. There was no evidence to be found in the dunes whatsoever. In 1979, they made a facial reconstruction of her out of clay. In 1980, they dug up her remains to examine them, and once again, no new clues were found. There was nothing else to be found. In March of 2000, they brought her body out again for DNA testing. Still nothing. Her skull specifically has been unburied since 1980. They have done multiple CT scans, and there is nothing. In March of 2000, when they did the DNA testing, there were either no matches in the system at this time, or the system was just not advanced enough to find even a sliver of a relative. In May of 2010, they did one of the CT scans I was talking about, and they used the CT scan of her skull to make another reconstruction of her face to try once again to get a lead. Out of all of these years and all of these efforts, there were really only two leads, and neither of them went anywhere. The first lead came in 1987, and a Canadian woman supposedly told her friend that she saw her father strangle a woman in Massachusetts in 1972. The police attempted to find this woman. They could never find her. Another woman came to the police and told them that the reconstruction that they had created in 1980 looked like her sister, who had disappeared in Boston in 1974. That was ruled out. Another lead that was not as direct. There was a missing criminal by the name of Rory Jean Kessinger, and she would have been 25 at the time of this murder, so she fit the age description. She had broken out of jail in 1973. Authorities thought there might be a resemblance between Kessinger and the victim, but after investigating, DNA from her mother did not match the victim, so not her. There were also multiple other missing women from around the area that were ruled out. One of the most interesting theories, or possibilities, I guess I could say, it came in August of 2015. After Joe Hill, who is the son of the author Stephen King, he brought this to the police's attention. He read a book titled The Skeleton Crew: How Amateur Sleuths Are Solving America's Coldest Cases. After reading this, I guess it remained in his brain, and he watched Jaws, which, as any fan of the movie knows, was shot in 1975 in Martha's Vineyard. Joe was watching Jaws, and specifically the 4th of July beach scene. Joe spotted a woman in the crowd of the movie, like an extra in the movie, wearing a blue bandana and Wrangler jeans, similar to those found with the body. One of the lead investigators was interested in this, and that is the last piece of this investigation that I can find. I don't know if it was ever confirmed to be the Lady of the Dunes, but either way, it's really cool. As I said, this case was solved last October. It was actually solved on Halloween of last year, October 31st, 2022. The FBI field office in Boston announced that the victim had finally been identified, and the Lady of the Dunes was Ruth Marie Terry. The skeletal remains were dug up once more, and they were sent to a lab. And here, the DNA profile was generated, and this was used to identify distant relatives. And eventually, they were able to narrow it down and identify the victim. At this time, no potential suspects or any reason why Terry would be in Massachusetts. None of this was discussed or disclosed. All they did was state that they had identified her and how they identified her. On November 2nd, 2022, the Massachusetts State Police announced that they were looking for any information on Terry's husband, who had died in 2002. His name was Guy Rockwell Moldovan. He is a very interesting character. Before Terry, he had been married, I believe, 3 times, and all of his wives went missing. Well, I won't say all of his wives. His first wife did not go missing. They divorced. But he remarried 2 years after the divorce. She went missing along with her 18-year-old daughter. Both of them went missing. He was the prime suspect. He fled the state and then was arrested by the FBI just because he was obviously looked extremely guilty. He, as far as I know, he did not do any time for their disappearance. Not even a year after the disappearance, it was more like 3 months, he remarries, and he is charged with swindling her family out of $10,000 around the same time that his previous wife and her daughter went missing. He actually was convicted of these charges, and he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. However, he did about maybe 10 months, and then it was suspended, and all he had to do was repay the money. There's a man by the name of Henry Lawrence Red Baird. He is 28. Well, he was 28 years old, and he drove a bread truck. Moldovan is the prime suspect in his murder, as well as the disappearance of his girlfriend, Barbara Jo Kelly. Barbara was last seen in Humboldt County, California in June of 1950, and her and Red were on a date. They were at the beach. The next morning, Red's body was found face down on the beach near Table Bluff. He had received a gunshot wound to the back of the head, and except for his shoes and his socks, he was naked. Barbara's clothes were found folded very neatly and tucked underneath the rest of his clothes, all folded neatly, except her shoes and her stockings. Although her clothes were there, there was no trace of Barbara. No evidence of where she could have gone, nothing, and she has not been seen or heard from since. In 1976, a couple years after Terry went missing, Moldovan moves to California. He lived in California until he died in 2002, and he took another wife after Terry. There is not a lot of information about their marriage. I do not believe they were married very long before she ended up missing. However, now that she's identified, we have more information on Terry herself, if that obviously makes sense to you. Terry's family believed that she left willingly, if that makes sense. They lived in California together. She was originally from Tennessee. She married Moldovan the same year that she went missing. According to some of Terry's family members, it is remembered that she did not seem to be herself when she was with Moldovan, and he seemed very possessive. According to Terry's half-brother from Chattanooga, they are one of the last few people in her family that saw Terry before she went missing. They said that Terry and her husband were supposedly going to travel the United States to look for antiques. At this time, her husband was an antique dealer. He has done numerous trades throughout his life, as I'm sure you can imagine, with how many times he's changed wives, much less jobs. According to Terry's half-brother, He also said that her husband spoke about visiting Massachusetts as they were leaving. In the late summer of 1974, Mulliven returns to Tennessee after they have not seen Terry or her husband since his last visit. He returns to tell them that she's gone missing from their home in California. According to her sister-in-law, Mulliven stayed for a short time, but all he really said was that he didn't know where Terry was. He did not seem very interested in talking about it. Terry's brother traveled to California and hired a private investigator to find her. The investigator found some very interesting information that was obviously not true. The investigator told Terry's family that all of her belongings had been sold and that she had left the state of her own will after becoming involved with a religious cult. Do with that information what you will. Other than Terry's husband, who was officially named her killer on August 28th of this year, by the way, there were a couple other suspects, but none of them played out. There's nothing. The first serial killer was Tony Costa, who was a serial killer in Massachusetts. He was pretty quickly eliminated. He died on May 12th of 1974, and Terry was found 3 months later. So they ruled that out pretty quickly. There was something very interesting. A murderer by the name of Haddon Clark actually confessed to Terry's murder. However, it was ruled out after it was kind of determined he did not know what he was talking about. He told the police, "I could have told the police what her name was, but after they beat the shit out of me, I wasn't going to tell them shit." If you hear my cat, I apologize. He is my co-host this evening. Haddon said, "This murder is still unsolved, and what the police are looking for is in my grandfather's garden." They went to his grandfather's garden. There was nothing. He apparently also suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, so they were already kind of unsure that he was telling the truth to begin with. In 2004, Haddon sent a letter to a friend stating that he had killed a woman on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. He had also sent him two drawings. One was of a handless, naked woman sprawled out on her stomach, kind of like Terry, and another of a map that was pointing to where the body was found. In April of 2000, Haddon led police to a spot where he claimed he had buried two victims 20 years before in 1980. He also stated that he had murdered several other people in various states between the 70s and the 90s. All of that may be true, and I will definitely have an episode about Haddon Clark later this season, which is the only reason I even went into detail about that just now. But obviously they ruled that out, and Terry's husband was officially announced her murderer this year, 21 years after his death. The Lady of the Dunes has been identified, and this episode is now coming to an end. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I will see you guys in a couple days. Bye, guys.